I want to speak to you tonight from a passage that has always been a blessing to me. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I was going to read the entire text from verse 12 to verse 20, but in the interest of time, I'm just going to take two verses out of this passage and read them to you. It is written, of course, by the Apostle Paul, who was the founding pastor of the church at Corinth. And after probably about 18 months, Paul moved on from Corinth to continue his missionary journeys to which God had called him. And after a little while away from Corinth, Paul got news that the church there was having some problems, moral and spiritual issues and questions that they had that were causing disunity among the body of Christ. And so the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, this that we call 2 Corinthians. And apparently, some of the things he said in dealing with those problems offended some of the folks there at Corinth. You know, any time a pastor deals with problems in a church, somebody always ends up getting offended. And it's usually the people who are the problems that get offended. When I think about that, I thank God that I'm not a pastor anymore. I've served my time, and I tell Pastor Nathan from time to time, you take all the heat and I'll have all the fun. I don't want to ever pastor again because I know the problems that are involved there, and my nerves just won't take it anymore. So I don't want to ever be a pastor again, but I'm glad to be a part of this congregation. So Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians to correct problems, and then he started hearing from them that those who were offended among them probably were the ones that were talking against Paul and against his ministry. They even went to the point of calling Paul a liar because he had promised that he was going to visit the church in Corinth. And according to his own words in this second letter, he came down with some kind of an affliction, probably an illness of some kind. And it was so serious that he was even close to death. And he was not able to come to them when he said he was going to. And some of them were attacking him and saying that Paul did not tell the truth, that Paul was a liar. And so Paul here is defending not only himself, but he goes on and after he explains to them the reason he could not come. And he's saying to them, now there's one thing that I want you to know for sure. I may have to break some promises. I may not be able to fill some of my promises sometimes due to extenuating circumstances. But I want you to know one thing for sure, and that is that God always keeps his promises. And that's all what I want to talk to you about tonight. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 19. There the Bible says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, not yes and no, but in him was yea, or in him the promises of God are yes. He says, for the promises of God, in verse 20, in him are yes, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Tonight, I want to speak to you on the subject, all the promises of God are yes. There's a wonderful and powerful truth here for all of us who will receive it. And if we will receive it, it will change our lives. In verse 20 there, Paul said, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." In John chapter 14 and verse 13, Jesus said, And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And in John chapter 15 and verse 7, again, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." So Jesus Christ is God's eternal yes to all who trust in him. And as a believer, you can lay hold on every promise that you can find in the Word of God and claim it for yourself. That's what that means. That's just one of the reasons that I search the Scriptures personally, so that when I go before God in his presence, I can take the Word of God with me. I can take the promises of God with me. I believe in praying the promises of God and claiming them for ourselves. Somebody wrote, "Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All are blessings of his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine." So this is an eternal principle from God's Word. Even back in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, God is speaking to Balaam, the prophet, and he said, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent or that he should change his mind. Hath he not said, and will he not do it? Hath he not spoken, and will he not make it good?" And so this is an eternal principle in God's Word, and it's illustrated many, many times throughout the Bible and in life. And one of those cases where it is illustrated is in the life of Joshua, the leader of the nation of Israel. In Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14, Joshua here is 110 years old, and this is his swan song. He calls Israel together. He knows his time is short, and with them, he begins to review God's promises to them and God's faithfulness to the nation of Israel. And he says in the 23rd chapter and verse 14, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass, and unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." Not one thing, Joshua said, has failed of what God has promised to do for Israel. In other words, he's saying, "I have seen and you have seen God's faithfulness to all of his promises in every generation that has lived since they had begun their journey from Egypt." And these many years, he's saying, God has never failed us yet. Not one promise. And since that is true, Joshua, in the very next chapter, Joshua called Israel, gave Israel a challenge. He said, choose this day. God's been faithful. And so he said, I want to put this before you. I challenge you to choose this day whom you will serve. Whether it be the gods on the other side of the flood, on the other side of the Jordan, or whether it be the gods of the Amorites who dwell among you, he said, choose who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because God keeps his promises. All of his promises to us are yes. I want you to get that if you don't get anything else. I want you to get that God says yes to every promise he has made to you and I if we will only trust him and claim that promise. He will say yes to everything that you and I need and everything we pray for in his will. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, the verse that I mentioned this morning, Paul writes again, he that spared not his own son. Here's a guarantee God's going to keep his promise. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God is willing to sacrifice his son for you and I to purchase our salvation, do we really think that God will not give us everything that is good for us if we'll only ask and believe? He says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Not through Mary, not through the saints, not through works, not through religion, not because we're a positive thinker, but because it is his promise and he stands behind every promise that he's ever made. Folks, God is good. God is gracious. God is merciful and God is forgiving. And in Christ Jesus, every one of his promises to you and I receives the answer of yes. God is also, we need to remember that God is also holy. And God is just. And he is a consuming fire. And everything that God promises us, he promises us through his Son. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul, many believe, is the author of Hebrews, and he writes these words. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Paul said, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. I want to call your attention tonight to just three of the thousands of promises that God has given us in his word. Number one, God promises salvation to all who come to him through Jesus Christ. God never gives up on anybody. We may give up on folks, but God never gives up on anybody. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So God promises salvation to all who come to him through Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. The scripture says, Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The one thing that every person in the world desperately needs and can have through Jesus Christ is salvation. And God promises salvation to all who come through Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Over 1,900 times, God calls every sinner to himself and promises him salvation and eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, again, the Bible says, here's another verse I gave you this morning. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't know anybody that doesn't want eternal life. Everybody would like to have eternal life. But what the world and we need to realize is that there's only one way to have eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ. He comes with the package, and without him, there is no eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God promises salvation to every person who will trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Doesn't matter how bad they've been. Doesn't matter how far they've gone. It doesn't matter how far it is to find their way back. God promises salvation to everyone who will believe. And it's our job, folks. It's our responsibility to find those who are away from Jesus Christ and help them find their way back to the Savior. Because all of God's promises in him are yes. And he promises salvation to every lost person on the face of the earth. The second thing I want to say to you is that God promises us as believers. God promises us victory in every battle. Not only does he promise us salvation who believe in him, but he promises you and I victory in every battle. You believe that? You believe God promises you victory? In Romans chapter 8, Pastor mentioned it in his prayer just a few minutes ago. In Romans chapter 8, Paul said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. God promises victory to every believer who know him, who know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and who love him. And listen, if you're saved, you're called according to his purpose. And so he says, all things work together for good. Now, does that mean that everything is good that happens to us? No, that's not what it means. It means that no matter how bad it is, no matter what happens to you and I as a believer, that God will work in all things that take place in our lives and turn it out for our good. I don't know about you folks, but I'm not afraid of anything anymore. Because I know that whatever happens, whatever comes into my life, God is going to work through it to do something good in my life, to draw me closer to him, to make me stronger, to make me more usable in the kingdom of God. And so God promises us victory in every battle. Every believer should walk in victory always. We have the right. We have the promises of God to stand on, and we should live in victory all of the time. The psalmist put it this way. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bring forth his fruit in his season. Now watch this. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. Thank God. He promises victory to every believer. Psalm 126 puts it this way. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He promises victory. Satan can't cancel or nullify one promise that God has made. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And Satan cannot neutralize the promises of God, no matter what he does. If you and I continue to trust in him, all the promises of God are yes in him and amen in him. Romans chapter 16 and verse 20 says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Isn't that good stuff? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Hey, you and I are going to be able to stomp on Satan's head. We can jump up and down on his head because God promises us victory. I told the group this morning in the Celebrate Recovery group that for many years now, when difficulty comes into my life, when something comes against me, it makes me happy. You know why? Because I know that if Satan is after me, I know that I'm on the right track. I know he's scared of something that God's doing in my life. Hey, if he's not after you, you ought to worry about it. If he doesn't come after you and try to defeat you, you ought to be concerned about it. But if he does, that means you're doing something he doesn't like. And if you and I will keep on doing what we know God wants to do us to do and living the way God wants us to live, you know what Satan will do? He'll back off every time because he's not getting from you what he wants. He wants to distract you. He wants to discourage you. He wants to defeat you. And God promises you victory if you'll just keep on trusting him. In Isaiah 54 and 17, one of my favorite passages, Isaiah said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. You ever claim that promise? No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. God promises us victory in every battle. And God promises to get us home safely to heaven. He promises salvation to everyone who will believe. He promises victory to everyone who will trust him. And he promises to get us home safely to heaven. Philippians 4 and 6 says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. People used to think that I was a little bit off in the head. I probably am. But some used to say, there was a fellow one time that rode to work with me when we were students at Gulf Coast Bible College. He's living over in Middle Tennessee now. He was a pastor for several years and is now retired. And he used to say, Ralph, I'm worried about you. And I'd say, why? He said, because you don't worry. And he said, I'm worried about you because nothing seems to bother you. And some folks over the years started telling me that I was ignorantly blissful. But listen, God promises to get us home safely to heaven. God promises us victory in every battle. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, I don't believe in eternal security. I don't believe that once you're saved, you're always safe. But neither do I believe in eternal insecurity. I don't believe God wants his people to go around every day thinking that they have to repent of their sins before they go to bed at night or they might go to hell. I believe God wants his people to live every day as they know they ought to live, with the confidence that God will keep his promises to us and we don't have to live in fear. We can have joy in the Lord, a peace that passes all understanding and a joy unspeakable and full of glory. God promises to get us home safely to heaven. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, the Apostle Paul asked this question, who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And he goes on with a long list, and then right in the middle he stops and says, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And then he says, neither life nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor rulers of darkness. And he goes on and goes on. And finally he ends by saying, thank God nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So as long as we trust in Jesus alone to save us, all hell can't defeat us. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Paul said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's the work of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and he'll see us home. He'll deliver us safely home. I love the song that Tim sings. I used to hear Rosie Roselle sing it at our church in Birmingham when we pastored there. Rosie sang with the cathedrals at that time, and he lived in Birmingham, and he would sometimes call me and when he was there on Sunday night and ask me if he's all right, if he came and if I wanted him to sing, and I'd always say yes. And Rosie would come, and every time I remember him singing, he'd sing, death's chilly waters I'll soon be crossing, but his hand will lead me safe o'er. Then I'll join the chorus in that great city, and I'll live up there forevermore. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Tim, you do a great job with it. So, God promises salvation to everyone who will trust him through Jesus Christ. He promises victory to every believer who trusts the Savior, and he promises to get us safe home. The story is told of a soldier on the battlefield who was critically wounded, and his life was slowly ebbing away. Medic was attending to him. He was known to be a Christian. And as the medic attended to him, he kept hearing him say, "Here. Here. Here." And finally, he asked him, "Why are you saying here?" He said, "Because they're calling the roll in heaven. And I'm answering to my name." Listen, God's answer to every sinner in this book is yes. Every sinner, not every sinner, every promise. God's answer to every promise in this book is yes. In Him, in Jesus Christ. And every blood-bought son and daughter of God will be able one day to answer yes when they hear their name called in heaven. And God invites you to lay claim to every promise through His Son. It's yours for the asking. God will say yes to His promises in Jesus Christ. If you look back, I'm not going to take the time to do it, but if you'll look back at the first verses in that first chapter of 2 Corinthians, you'll notice there that in verse 12, Paul says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience." The testimony of our conscience. And then down in verse 15, he speaks of this confidence. He said, "It is this confidence." 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19, Paul puts it this way, "Holding faith and a good conscience." Holding faith and a good conscience. When you and I have a clear conscience, we're able to live in the light of Jesus' return. He's coming back, folks. He's never going to set foot on the earth again, but He's coming back. And we don't know when. It could be tonight, it could be in the morning, it could be next week, it could be next month. I used to get up every morning, and when I went in the bathroom and stood in front of the mirror to shave, I'd look at the mirror and I'd say, "This could be the day." And I believe it could. When you have a clear conscience, you can live in the light of the return of Jesus Christ without fear. When you have a clear conscience, you are serious about the will of God. You hear me? You understand what I'm saying? When you have a clear conscience, you'll only have it if you're serious about the will of God for your life. You know, most professing believers don't even care about the will of God. They give it no thought. They make decisions every day without seeking the will of God. They make life-changing decisions without ever seeking the will of God. They never give it a thought that God may want to use them in some way in the life of the church or in the community to make a difference in that community and the difference in the lives of people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you have a clear conscience, it'll be because you're serious about the will of God for your life. And when you have a clear conscience, you will glorify Jesus Christ. All the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. One of the blessings of a clear conscience is that when you have a clear conscience, you're not afraid to face God and claim His promises. When you have a clear conscience, you're not afraid to claim the promises of God. We need a clear conscience before God, because all of the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen.